I kind of like My Little Pony. It's like, it's wholesome and it teaches lessons and nah, fuck, I'm a brony now, aren't I?
See, here's the thing, Mike. None of us had any doubt. Welcome to 10 Cent Takes, the show where we celebrate rad ladies one issue at a time. My name is Jessica Fraser, and I'm joined by my co-host, the historic I'm joined by my co-host, the historic hero, Mike Thompson.
No, I'm leaving that in because I feel like in honor of Women's History Month, it needs to be Harrow.
Harrow. Yes. Well, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Well, if you're new to the show, our main episodes drop every other week and provide in-depth looks into interesting moments in comic books and how they tie into pop culture and history. But today is one of our Dollar Bin Discoveries mini-episodes that we do in between those deep dives. We spend a lot of time rooting through dollar bins at local shops looking for interesting stuff. And while a lot of the issues we find are fun and weird, there may not be enough for us to do a deep dive on at the moment. But we do always reserve the right to change our mind on that later. Each episode will feature both of us talking about one random issue we came across in the dollar bins, one that fits a theme one of us chose. So in honor of Women's History Month, we are actually going to be talking about comics that relate just to that, since it is Women's History Month.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll talk about what it is, what goes on inside it, and why it's interesting. These are mini episodes that are meant to provide you with some weekly content between our more in-depth discussions about the weirder and more interesting moments of comic book history. So, Mike, what do you got for us tonight? Dudes first tonight.
Bros before.
Whoa.
No. That's a problematic statement.
Dude, see, look at this. It really is Women's History Month. Mike's on here getting all problematic.
Yeah. I mean, I am a cis white guy. When am I not problematic?
It's okay, folks. He can't see through his privilege. We'll get past it.
Like, Sarah and I were talking over dinner, and she was like, no, like, here's the thing, is that you are basically a mask lesbian. You were like, you are very masked, but you're also very in touch with your feelings, which makes you, like, the perfect person to be with. And I'm like, oh, okay. Thanks, aww, I think.
That's nice.
I'm like, I'll take it. As someone who greatly enjoys, like, lesbian TikTok, like, and basically them shitting on dudes all the time. It's very good.
Oh my gosh. I love that lesbian TikTok is all lesbians, women who are about to find out they're lesbians or bi. And Mike.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. Or also they're just talking about like why they don't date dudes anymore. And like they talk about like, are the straights okay? And like it's routinely them just being like, I don't understand. Like I'll go to a party and couples are talking about how much they hate each other's partner. Or they'll talk about like how men do the bare minimum, like below the bare minimum even for their partner. Yeah. And yeah, I routinely am like, I do not fall in that category. And I'm like, I probably should not be proud of the fact that I do more than the bare minimum. But it is a little bit of a source of pride seeing as how it's become such a cultural milestone at this point.
Oh, man. Yeah. No, it's a good time.
Yeah. Anyway, comics. That's what we're here for. I am talking about Death Talks About Life. It is written by Neil Gaiman. It is illustrated by Dave McKean, lettered by Todd Klein, and edited by Karen Berger. This was published by DC Comics. The exact publishing date is a little bit mysterious. So the wiki info I found says it was published in 1993, and McKean's signature at the end of the comic has a date of September 27, 1992, so that kind of lines up, because it was originally published as a backup feature in Hellblazer 62, The Sandman 46, and Shade the Changing Man 32, all of which were published in the January-February 1993 range. But this specific one-shot has a 1994 copyright, so I'm not sure if that was just a typo on DC's part, or if DC decided to publish this as its own one-shot later on. This story came out right when the AIDS crisis in America was like hitting its peak, So younger listeners might not realize this, but this was like a really weird time to be growing up in America, because AIDS had sort of become this, it was almost like a juggernaut in terms of the presence of like our country's kind of collective consciousness. And I don't want to spend too much time on this because it's a Dollar Bin Discovery episode, mm-hmm. but the Reagan administration really catered to like the hardcore conservative constituents in power. And as a result, they just allowed it to spread out of control. And I'm not being hyperbolic, because according to the American Psychological Association, by 1994, AIDS had become the leading cause of death for all Americans ages 25 to 44.
Wow.
Right?
That's so wild.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like it was just kind of like something that we were all aware of when we were growing up. I was like, you know, around early middle school age at this point in time. And so there was like, you know, special ed classes and stuff like that where they were like, no, this is what's going on. Like these are like, you know, the characteristics of AIDS. This is how the virus spreads, things like that. And they were really drilling home basic information. Like it's, you know, it's a sexually transmitted disease. But the thing is, you know, I was growing up in a pretty nice area of California. So we had a better, you know, a better education system,
right?
As opposed to like my cousins in Texas, who I know for a fact we're not getting that same education. But yeah. So around this era, we started seeing like a ton of PSAs that were aimed at educating the public about how the disease was spread, how to practice safe sex. And it was also dispelling the myths that we had been kind of fed by like sort of like a whisper network almost at that point in time, where it was just kind of like there weren't a lot of facts going around. It was kind of like the early days of COVID, where it was a lot of misinformation going around. But at the same time, it wasn't that instantaneous travel of information because we didn't have the internet.
Right.
Yeah, this is an 8-page comic, and that includes the front and back covers. The front cover has Death, Dream Sister from the Sandman comic, warning us that this comic is going to feature important information about sex. And that might upset those who were, quote, offended by any mention that human beings have things under their clothes, let alone that they do anything interesting with them. And then she launches into a very no-nonsense talk about both HIV and AIDS. She talks about how it's contracted and then how the reader can minimize exposure. And it's very direct, but it's also very beautiful. Like, she talks about STDs and how they've always been around and how these days they're usually cured with antibiotics, but AIDS is a bit different because it's fatal. And then the highest risk activities for contracting it are blood-to-blood contact, like sharing needles or unprotected sex. She notes that things like breathing the same air as someone who has it, or hugging them, or kissing are all extremely safe. You can't tell who's got AIDS just by looking at them. The idea that, quote, only certain kinds of people can get AIDS is a myth. It doesn't have any relevance to what the person's skin color is, anything like that, because at that point in time, there was also a lot of racism associated with AIDS.
What? Racism in the United States? That's a wild accusation. Yeah.
But then we get to my favorite part, which is she pulls out a condom and she's basically like, I'm going to give you a demonstration on how to use this. And then she says she needs an assistant who happens to be John Constantine. And it's great. Stop. John shows up. He holds a banana for her as a prop. And then he's like, also, he's just like, this is embarrassing. And she's like, would you rather be a little bit embarrassed or a lot dead? And I was like, that's really good. Yeah. And so she, you know, it's like very detailed. It shows exactly how to put the condom on using a banana. And then after that, John leaves and Death wraps things up. She notes that safe sex will protect you from other STDs and that unprotected sex can also lead to unplanned pregnancies. And then she wanders off panel eating the banana.
No, she doesn't. That's hilarious.
I love that. But then she comes back on for the last couple of panels and she says, hey, we know that this is a really short space to cover a very deep and big topic. So there are a number of organizations offering support and information about HIV and AIDS. And they are all listed on the back cover along with their contact info. And, you know, like, this is great. Like, I love this. Yeah. It's a really cute little PSA. It's thoughtful. It is put together by some of the most talented creators in the industry at the time. It feels very in keeping with Death as a character. It's kind of meta and fourth wall breaking. But this is the character that we have all gotten to know from the Sandman comics at this point.
Right. Yeah.
Like, she is thoughtful and kind and funny, but also kind of no nonsense. And So that's kind of why I chose this. This was a tougher topic for me to find, where I was like, I was trying to find something that felt relevant and historical, but also featured a woman as the main focus.
Yeah.
As I was going through it, I was like, oh yeah, this is actually like a pretty big deal, because it's using someone who is a fictional female character, but it was dealing with a very relevant topic at the time that was really scary for a lot of people. And so, yeah, I thought this was really beautiful. And I was always aware of it. Like, I had known about this for a while, but I found it at one of the Harvey Doss dollar bin sales that they had. And I was so excited when I picked it up.
Yeah, I found some good stuff at Harvey Doss. So
every time that I have left their dollar bin sales, I have walked out with no less than $100 worth of dollar comics.
See, yeah.
Like, if I was a flipper, I could have sold what I came out of there with for 4 to 5 times as much easily.
Right.
Like, and that includes, like, I found a couple of the first issues of Marvel's Gargoyles comic. Like, if I had flipped it, I could have sold those for probably around $200.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah. Totally. All right. So yeah, that was my my dollar bin discovery for the episode. So why don't you fill us in on yours?
So today I am bringing Female Force, Hillary Clinton, and this is a one shot. It was published It was published by Blue Water Comics in January of 2009. It is written by Neil Bailey. Art was by Ryan Howe. Colorist was Michael Adams. Editor was Darren G. Davis. Letters were Malachi Charlow. So I actually got this comic thanks to Rob from Dear Watchers, who gave me this along with a bunch of other really cool ones.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I'm pretty sure I've talked about at least one on the show so far. One. Yeah. So thank you again, Rob. I appreciate you. And this is a biography comic that, if you recall the date, January 2009, the date was right after Barack Obama won the presidency. So Hillary, of course, we know Hillary Clinton ran against Barack Obama in the primaries for the Democratic Party and ended up conceding to Barack Obama, who then won the presidency, of course. So the comic is really Hillary Rodham Clinton's history up to that point in the comic, details about how she grew up, her extensive political career, and her marriage to Bill Clinton, and the scandals that came with it, of course.
Oh, do they actually talk about stuff like Monica Lewinsky?
They do. It's very glazed over. It's very washed, but it's like, but it talks about the affair that he had prior to the presidency as well. I mean, it does get into it, and
interesting.
It seems like there was a lot of research done, honestly, about everything. Pretty extensive. It also talked about her accolades as well as her role in policies and actions that maybe aren't looked at as being in the populace's best interest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was definitely skewed more to the side of being pro-Hillary overall. But that's pretty much it without getting into the finer details. I mean, it was a biography, you know, so it was a fine one. It delved into a lot of things that I wasn't aware of, like the fact that she was a Republican for a good amount of time prior to switching to Democrat.
I didn't know that, but I'm like, that's not surprising. She's like a centrist.
Exactly. She re-examined her ideologies at one point and ended up switching over. Yeah. Like, the art was good. Nothing to say negative or like overly positive, other than I liked that the people didn't delve too far into looking like caricatures. Like, they're you know, they're comic-y, they're a little cartoony. That's the nature of what this is,
right?
But it really bothers me when people end up looking, you know, with exaggerated features or with like you know, it just that kind of thing bothers me, and I think it was a good line of that. So and in looking further into this comic, I found that along with the paper version, there was also a hardback version that was printed after the fact.
Oh, wild. Okay.
Yeah. And Hillary Rodham Clinton is not the only person who was featured in the biographies. As the back page indicates, that you can also find one-shot issues featuring Michelle Obama, Caroline Kennedy, and Sarah Palin.
Yeah, I remember the Sarah Palin one when that came out. Yeah.
Yeah. But there are actually other people that you can find up to now, even including Taylor Swift. Because, the biographical comic that I'd mentioned in a previous episode is of the same series.
And that one's like really blowing up right now. And it's really funny because, again, those comic book groups I'm in are like, there's some toxic bros who are just real fucking mad about it. And I'm like, I'm mad about it, I guess. I don't know.
And they're mad about a lot of things, which I'm definitely about to circle into. I love this. Yeah. Of course, the Taylor Swift one was just published this last December. So just a few months ago from when we're recording now.
Yeah.
And to tie it back to even another of our episodes, one of the variant covers of Taylor Swift's comic is an homage to a Dazzler cover.
Right.
And the speculation, of course, still abounds about whether or not, I think very fucking likely, she would be playing Dazzler in the upcoming Deadpool film. I just need to fucking know at this point. Like, I just need to know. I'm like so sure, but like, I need to know for sure. So, yes, that's my wraparound. But yeah, the bros are not happy about that either.
So. Whatever. You know, like, like, if you're mad that Taylor Swift got a biographical comic, I guess that's a hell of a fucking hill to die on. She's,
like, being Dazzler. Like, she's not allowed to, like...
Like, any of them fucking cared about Dazzler before this.
Like, a pop star. Yeah. I know. They just want to gatekeep shit, dude.
They really do. Like, they're the same ones who are getting mad about the X-Men being woke now. That it's been revealed that Morph in the new cartoon is going to be non-binary. And I was talking with Mike from Ivy's Hideout in Petaluma the other day about it. I'm like, hey, did you hear about that? Like, they're all mad about the X-Men being woke. And he was like... The X-Men have been woke since 1967.
I was going to say, I have big news for them if they're worried about the X-Men being woke. Like,
whatever.
Sir, let me break this down for you. Have you heard of a metaphor?
Yeah. Wild.
All right. Well, I believe that about wraps up our episode. So thank you for joining us. We will see you next week for, I don't know, some sort of a deep divey topic.
Something. I don't know. I can't remember. Like, we're recording these all out of order. We never know what's coming up after a Dollar Bin discovery that we've recorded.
It'll be a surprise to us all. Something, though.
Yeah.
And after that, in 2 weeks, you will get another Dollar Bin discovery. So until then, we will see you in the stacks.
Thanks for listening to 10 Cent Takes. Accessibility is important to us, so text transcriptions of each of our published episodes can be found on our website.
This episode was hosted by Jessica Fraser and Mike Thompson, written by Jessica Fraser and edited by Mike Thompson. Our intro theme was written and performed by Jared Emerson Johnson of Bay Area Sound. Our credits and transition music is Pursuit of Life by Evan MacDonald and was purchased with a standard license from Premium Beat. Our banner graphics were designed by Sarah Frank, who's at lookmomdraws.com.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, ask us questions, or tell us about how we got something wrong, please head over to 10centtakes.com or shoot an email to 10centtakes@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter for now. The official podcast account is 10 Cent Takes, all one word. Jessica is Jessica with a, and Jessica is spelled with a K. And Mike is Vansau, V-A-N-S-A-U. You can also find us on Instagram, Mastodon, Facebook, TikTok, and Blue Sky. A full list of our socials will be listed in the show notes.
You can also send us mail now. We are at P.O. Box 940 in Pen Grove, California, 94951. And Pen Grove is spelled P-E-N-N-G-R-O-V-E.
Send us stuff.
If you'd like to support us, be sure to download, rate, and review wherever you listen.
Stay safe out there.
And support your local comic shop.